Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This week, we're talking about the craziest cars at SEMA, including a 2,800 horsepower Chevelle and a waterproof Toyota, plus a Dodge Viper that became a bird's nest, and why Ford has TJ Hunt in its crosshairs. We'll also talk about Mazda's latest plans for a rotary revival. But first, did Honda just make the weirdest engine ever? I think so. Welcome to the Big Three.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
If this is your first time, welcome to the show. News is to us like a zookeeper's leg is to Mudang.
We're just ready to take a bite.
My name is Nolan Sykes, and joining me this week, to my right, stage left, it's Max Maddox.
Hello.
And Joe G. Weber.
Sup? Sup?
Sup?
What's up?
Sup, Joe?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
It's going.
I heard you had quite the blowout this morning.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Let's get right into that.
I was
going
to be early.
Yeah. We're not talking about tires.
Okay. No. This was a 2-day backup in my infant's digestive system that just came loose.
Great.
And I was going to be early for the first time in a long time, and instead I was late.
Mm. I had a window regulator go out in my BMW on the way here. Will be my second regulator that I'll
Didn't
have replaced.
Did you just get the other one replaced?
Yes.
Like on Thursday.
Yeah, it was like a week or two ago. Yeah. So, you know,
that sucks.
When one goes, the others follow.
Buy an E39, they said. It'll be fun, they said. Yeah. You're never going to need a window regulator ever.
That's just the tax I pay for driving God's chariot.
So, as we mentioned, we'll be talking about some SEMA stuff later in the episode, but, Let's talk a little bit about it, Max. Max and I both went to SEMA. Mm-hmm. Actually, we were rolling like 20 deep. Donut was definitely representing at SEMA. But we drove some cool cars over there.
Mm-hmm. We did. So we took a couple of interesting vehicles to Las Vegas from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I drove the new Bentley Continental GT Hybrid, which is their new
GT Speed.
The GT Speed specifically. This is their new drivetrain. So mm-hmm. they just got rid of the W12, which was famously the flagship engine in Bentley's for the last, I don't know, 20 or so years. Mm-hmm. And they've phased that out completely. And now they're hybrid. So it's a twin turbo V8 with a hybrid system, makes about 770 horsepower. And that car is way rowdier than you would expect it to be. And you drove it well.
I can't stop thinking about it. Yeah, you let me drive it on Friday because we filmed a little reel that should be out sometime soon this week. Keep your eyes out for that. But dude, it is rowdy is a great word for it. I think it's just the coolest car, dude. And I've been thinking like, man, oh, it'd be sick to have one of those things. Maybe like in a couple years. And then I remember that it's $400,000. I'm like, okay, that's
yeah,
maybe off
and
the
that's
table,
not an man. Exaggeration. It is a $403,000 vehicle.
Yeah. Just buy a salvage one.
Yeah,
salvage
from the factory.
Grand.
No, it's dude, it was sick. I love like the smooth takeoff from like the electric hybrid system, and then you know you get going fast enough, the V8 kicks on, and it just sounds like a freaking freight train. It's awesome. Well, how was it driving on a nice little 5-hour road trip?
It was great. I mean, I can't complain. It does have massage seats, and sick. It is extraordinarily smooth. There were a few times when I looked down and I was going in the triple digits, and it felt like I was going 60.
It's a very stable car.
That's the nature
car.
Of a car like that.
So cool. It's the coolest. Like, I love, just imagining all the cool shit that's going on underneath the hood with the hybrid system and, like, how they're working in tandem together. It's just, like, it's so cool. It's such cool technology, and the sound is is great.
It's pretty incredible.
And I think that's a key. If like any automaker is going to make a flagship car also be a hybrid out there, I mean, we know this, but like that engine has to sound on point.
Yeah, so it's got pops and burbles and everything. And this is the same 4-liter mm-hmm. V8 that's in the Lamborghini Urus, the Panamera, the Audi RSQ8, a bunch of other vehicles
VAG
too.
Group.
Cayenne.
That's right. Yeah, the Cayenne as well. Mm-hmm. So probably the same awesome. As what you drove recently yeah. in Atlanta.
That thing was rowdy. It was like 5,500 pounds. I don't know how heavy
it's,
the...
Yeah, 5,400 pounds.
It feels light with that engine.
I wonder if they're built on the same platform. Do you know what platform that Bentley is?
I'm not sure.
Probably pretty close. Mm,
yeah.
Mm. Interesting.
Heavy boys.
Volkswagen.
They're like outside tackles. Like those cars are just like run like
or
a,
tight
four,
ends,
a
yeah.
4.6, 40.
Yeah.
Just like thighs as big as a tree trunk.
They're doing a sweep block though. They're coming around the line, hitting that outside defensive tackle. Yeah, dude. Like a freight train. Dude.
You had a pretty good nickname for that car too.
Oh yeah. It's the Trust Fund Hellcat for right. sure. Not even I think Trust Fund even is a
new
little
money.
New money Hellcat. Maybe. I think it's old money
that's
Hellcat.
Old
that's
money.
Old money Hellcat.
That's old
damn,
money.
That's better.
Old it's money Hellcat. Dude,
old money don't show money though.
That's true.
Old
if
money
Volvo
keeps
made a car
low-key.
Like this, then maybe it would be the
oh,
old
dude,
money.
Volvo,
Hellcat.
You need to get on that. You need an 800 horsepower station wagon immediately.
The one we had though, it was white, and then the interior was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So the Bentley came in white. It was Snow Quartz pearlescent, which is a $16,000 paint job.
Oh my God.
It's white. And the interior it was pink. It was pink interior.
Yeah.
Very loud.
Purple seats with pink trim everywhere.
What?
I think it was just to show off kind of like that you can do whatever,
sure.
like you can spec a car however you want with Bentley.
That's new money.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It definitely grew on me. At first, I was like, this is the stupidest, ugliest interior. But then after driving it and it really gets you in the mindset. Once you accepted the mindset of old money Hellcat,
yeah,
you're like, okay, this makes sense. I totally. Guess it would be new money Hellcat. Yeah, new
but
money.
Purple screams.
Yeah,
new money.
You just feel like you're wherever you're going, you're gonna make a business transaction happen.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna make money.
You've got at least two watches on.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So I love that car. It's awesome.
The Burbles. Are amazing though. The Burbles, like I am kind of jaded living near Glendale because you hear a lot of, like 5 series M8s mm-hmm. with annoying burbles and pops
yep.
and stuff. Mm-hmm. These are like nice sounding.
Yeah.
They don't blow your eardrums out.
It's just the coolest car, man. I loved it.
You drove another interesting vehicle.
I did.
Also
so we had a bit of a different experience. We, Justin and I, we drove out to Vegas in a Silverado EV RST.
Was Justin bitching the whole time?
We both really liked it.
He hates EVs. He hates EVs. And he makes it known.
Even he admitted it was a very nice truck.
Okay.
It didn't really, like, it's cool. You can, like, fold down the back of the truck, basically, like the cab of the truck. You could fold that down, put the seats down, and have, like, a really long bed. You could take the rear window out if
Whoa.
You wanted to. And to have, like, a... I want to say like 8-foot bed, I think, at least.
So you can have it completely open back there, like a
mm-hmm. yeah, you could
like a cargo plane.
It's crazy, yeah.
You could have
super nice
Victor Wembanyama sleep in the bed
you
of your truck.
Absolutely, yeah. Just a big old air mattress back there, he'd be good, you know. It was really nice though. It didn't really feel too much like a truck because I think it has independent suspension. It's on the same platform as the EV Hummer. Is super heavy truck, huge battery pack. It had a crazy range of like over 400 miles. It feel like behind the wheel, it feels more like a Suburban though. I just think from like the interior and just the way it drives, like you think that there's more seats behind you, even there's one row of seats, but like you have the bed and everything. It just like if they made an EV Suburban, I feel like it would feel very close to that. And it would be really good. I know. I bet that's up next, though, if this thing sells well enough, which I don't know. I haven't seen too many around, to be honest. But it's, I think, a pretty handsome-looking truck. It has a feature called Super Cruise, which is basically like the adaptive cruise control and lane assist in one. Mm. So it will drive itself.
Yeah, cool.
If you just like, you know, say, hey, this is the speed I want. This is the distance I want from other cars. Like, you can take your hands fully off the steering wheel. I had them in my lap. probably not super responsible, but there wasn't very many people on the road.
You don't need to put a banana on the steering wheel or anything. No, it
has like a sensor to make sure that you're like looking forward and paying attention, which I was. I was diligently scanning.
That's
the road.
Almost more work than just keeping your hands.
No, but dude, it was sick because like I drove it. I used Super Cruise about half the way there.
Yeah.
Then we stopped at Eddie World, which is like a candy / snack restaurant, rest stop, gas station kind of situation out in the middle of nowhere. It's past Victorville, I think. We stopped to charge there because we were going to get to Vegas with like 20% battery left, and we didn't want to like, we thought we'd be doing a lot more driving in Vegas, so we didn't want to have to like find a charge station in Vegas when we were there, whatever. So we charged it up, got to like 80%. On our way on the road to Vegas, I, you know, at Eddie World, I had stopped to get some snacks. I got a bag of Nerds Gummy Clusters.
Oh, those
are
great.
And a vanilla Coke in a bottle. And, you know, I was like chilling. We're about 15 minutes on the road again where I'm like, you know what? I want to open up that Coke. Kind of thirsty. Mm-hmm. Go to open the Coke. Kind of forgot that, you know, on the road, that bottle shaking.
Sure.
Gets a little carbonated. Open it up. I didn't notice at first because I'm looking at the road diligently, scanning for hazards. Open the cap up. And I'm like, it starts to spill out all over me, all over my pants, my jeans. So I'm like, oh, shit. I'm looking down.
My
clusters.
They're getting damp in
my
lap.
I was like, you know, dealing with the spilling situation, trying to suck the foam up in my bottle as I'm looking down, fully cupping it, you know?
I love this review of the Silverado EV.
It's coming. The foam is getting everywhere, all over my pants. I'm looking down. All of a sudden, the truck starts. There's a little LED like light bar in the steering wheel that tells you what Super Cruise is doing. If it's green, good. You're super cruising.
Oh no.
It starts blinking red.
Yeah.
And like chimes start going off like, hey, pay attention to the road. And I'm like, I got to deal with this bottle, Chevy. I don't know what to do, man. So I get the bottle situation. The car has exited Super Cruise mode.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got that handle, put it back in the couple. I try to start Super Cruise again. But because it went into that red condition where I was not paying attention, it locks you out.
Oh, no.
So you have to fully stop the vehicle, turn it off, turn it back on.
And then the seat starts spanking you.
That's the other thing. It does.
Yeah.
There's a giant motors in the seat that shake your legs.
Oh, my God.
So I'm dealing with that, too, while the bottle's going. I drove about halfway there. I didn't want to stop again to reset the Super Cruise thing. Yeah. So I had to drive the rest of the way like a schmuck. And that was my review. I learned my lesson.
Sure.
You know, pay attention while using Super Cruise. Don't open vanilla Cokes. Great truck though. Really great truck.
That electric nanny sure taught you a lesson, huh?
It sure did. Yeah. It was good though. I really, really enjoyed that truck. I think Super Cruise is awesome. The EV thing, we stopped again on the way back in Prim, and Justin and I explored an abandoned mall next
to. Oh, that's sick.
It was crazy. Well, it's attached to a casino, so they're like renovating it, but like no one's there because there's no stores in there except for a thrift store.
You find any like mutants?
No mutants. Just like there's like one security guard that was hanging out. We talked to her. She's like, yeah, like they're renovating this place and they have me working here. And it's like, it was like eerie. There's like music playing. There's cool art everywhere that they like hire or put in there like 10 years ago. But yeah, it was very eerie. Anyway, we're charging the truck. I just think like on longer road trips, it's still kind of a pain to have an EV because it took like 45 minutes to get to 80%. You know, we stopped for dinner or whatever, but I don't know. It's just kind of inconvenient still. I think around the city, it's great. Especially if you have your own charging station at your house, makes a lot of sense. But doing that long, that was the first time I had done like a long road trip with an EV. And it's still kind of inconvenient. Also, like one of the chargers that we had to go to, we had to download this other app.
Yeah.
You couldn't just like tap your card and do it. Whack. That was really stupid. That was really whack. Yeah. I don't know why they do that.
And in the desert, you don't have a lot of service. And,
Exactly.
You got one bar trying to download the Uconnect or whatever.
Something like that. It was stupid, man. Yeah. So I don't get why the companies do that. Just give it a tap, dude.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever.
Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now back to the show.
All right, should we get into some news, perhaps?
Let's do it.
Honda just announced a pretty dang crazy engine. We talked about Honda last week with the HRC. But last week, the company debuted a new turbo V3 engine.
That's right.
So V engines with an odd number of cylinders aren't a new thing, but they aren't very common either. This is the first time I've heard of this.
Totally.
VW has made V5s, and Honda has actually made V3s and V5s before. Odd-numbered V engines are most commonly used, though, for motorcycles because they're more space-efficient than an inline engine, and that's exactly why Honda has made this one.
That's interesting because like with a V engine with two cylinders, there's a balance, right?
Yeah.
But with this one, I would assume there's two smaller cylinders on one side and then just one on the other.
I was thinking about the imbalance thing too, because it's like, oh, you got two cylinders going at the same time, but they wouldn't be.
They'd be kind of like one, two,
opposite.
One, two, three, one, two, three. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out the firing order of that because
I think it's one, two, three. Because if it went one, two, three, two, one, like that second cylinder would be firing twice as often.
So it's
right?
so it's two on the same side consecutively, yes. And then yes. The other one, and then the two again.
Or one side of the other V. I think it's
well, if it's back and forth, then we're talking one, two, three, two, okay. One, two, three, two, one,
this
two,
is like
three,
a,
two.
This is like we're trying to decipher a Tool song here.
Let's got some math rock going on.
It's an engine
here.
Based on the number pi. So
yeah.
Fibonacci
sequence.
So golden this thing ratio.
As Joe mentioned, it's a 75 degree V with two pistons facing forward and one facing backward. It also has an electric compressor, which is basically a turbocharger that controls intake compression throughout the rev range. And it doesn't need an intercooler, which is pretty crazy.
Electric compressor that controls intake compression. That is interesting.
So, yeah.
Reverse blow off valve, kind of.
So that's different than that turbo that's on it?
That's the turbo that's on it.
Okay.
It's an electric controlled turbocharger.
All right.
So it's only on one side, though. It's not the exhaust putting pressure on the hot side of the turbo. I think it only has a cold side.
Just cold.
Oh, interesting.
Cold turbo.
Exactly.
Understood. Okay.
Pretty crazy. Pretty weird. This would make it the world's first forced induction V3, a superlative that I'm sure no one has ever tried to go for before.
Might be the last.
Maybe. I don't know. This is pretty cool.
Honda's developing it to put into higher displacement motorcycles. It's super torquey in like the lower to mid range.
Because it's got that compressor.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe like, I don't know what kind of like bigger bikes Honda makes. 900, 1200s?
Yeah, this is for liter bikes like the CB1000R. I think we could see it going into one of those.
Yeah.
Pretty neat. Can't wait to see what the Grindhard boys are going to do with this thing.
Yeah, they're going to put 90-inch tires on it.
Super
into
cool.
A Hot Wheel car.
Yeah. After 28 years, a Dodge Viper that sat on top of a dealership sign in the sun, rain, and snow in rural Kentucky came down for restorations, and it's looking pretty dang rough.
So this dealership just put a brand new Viper on top of a 50-foot pole at some point 28 years ago. Wow. And then now it's been sitting there, and they're fixing it up.
Yeah, I forget which article I read about this, but it's a first-gen Viper placed on the sign in 1996.
Wow.
I was 3 years old.
Man, imagine if they didn't put it up there. Then we could be driving it.
Yeah, we could all be
we
driving
sure would.
It. Yeah. That's what's funny is like you look at comments on news stories about this thing. I love shit like this.
Yeah,
it's like weird. It's like a trademark of the town. And this Road and Track article is people say they have interviews from citizens. And, you know, it's like, hey, this is like a, you know, people will drive along this highway, they'll see the Viper and know that they're in our town. You know, cool. I think that's really cool. And, you know, it's just odd and it's weird. There's plenty of other Vipers out there.
Yeah.
There's like a squirrel's nest in it.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of nesting going on. Active. Tons of leaves and branches and other ephemera.
This is kind of like how Oxnard has that Santa Claus.
Oxnard Santa Claus?
Yeah. There's a giant Santa Claus that's in Oxnard. And a couple of years ago, somebody actually shot it.
Well, that's messed up, dude. I don't like that.
That's well, pretty sick.
On the 105 here, there's that billboard of that dude who's like, is he a lawyer or something? And he's like standing, he's like, hey! that always freaks me out.
Yeah.
There's also the giant Hummer on the 105 at that car dealership.
Mm.
Well, this kind of stuff just like pays for itself and more. The dinosaurs down like going to Palm Cabazon. Springs. It's just a gas station, but everyone stops there.
No, it's not.
What?
It's a creationist museum.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never gone inside the dinosaur, but you go to the gas station there all the time.
You can go inside the dinosaurs, but like if you keep going further in,
yeah,
it's all about how man and dinosaur lived the same time.
This T-Rex was born 6,000 years
it's
ago.
It's very interesting. But also interesting, this Viper here, very sun damaged. The paint's all messed up.
Yeah. And this is like, they didn't strip the engine out or anything like that.
No, it's
a fully
chassis,
functional,
full car.
Brand new Viper that they slapped up there.
Huh. Pretty cool. So it's going to get touched up, going to get cleaned up, bring more people into the town.
And then they're going to throw it right back on the pole?
This is actually the second time that the car's come down for restoration. I think like 15 years ago, they brought it down as well to get cleaned up. So I love it. This is like something you'd see in... Fallout game or something.
Apparently the headlights and taillights still work, and the dealership goes up every few days to change the battery to keep them on.
What? That's dumb. Just run an electrical cord up there.
A tender or something. Yeah.
That's $200 every 3 days.
That's a bit of a
That's awesome.
That's a bit of a oversight. Yeah.
There's a sign underneath that has electricity going to it. Just run a cord.
That's pretty funny, man.
A trickle charger. The bummer is now those squirrels are unhoused, though.
So. Mm.
Mark Rober would be rolling over in his grave if he found out about those squirrels.
In his grave?
Yeah, what? Is this how I find out?
We'll be right back after these messages.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now back to the show.
Mazda has announced that it has greenlit development on their SP concept car. That's right. If you haven't seen the Mazda's SP car, this thing is sick. It's like when it's like the new RX-7.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or the new RX-8.
Or RX-9. Yeah. So this thing's sick. Two-door sports coupe. With
I
a
love
long,
it.
Cool. It's got a long nose, so short sick. Deck.
Kind of like me. Long nose.
Dude, this thing's super cool.
It's really minimalist looking. I like it a lot.
I love the taillights.
Taillights
too.
Are sick.
They're like
the
retro
logo.
Futurist, dude. They look
can't
very
do a badge
school.
Delete on this though.
No. I guess you could just cut the white. It has an illuminated rear emblem. It just says Mazda. Looks like it's molded into the bodywork.
Mm.
Very cool. So supposedly this will be supposedly.
I say that too.
Supposedly.
It's fine.
Supposedly, this will be a sort of RX successor, like your RX-7, RX-8. It's going to be electric, but will have a rotary range extender.
So this is one of those news articles a couple years ago that Mazda was bringing back the rotary.
Yeah.
It's about this. It's about being a range extender. Yes. This isn't going to be powering the vehicle, but it's going to be kind of like the BMW i3's extender.
Yeah, so no mechanical connection between the rotary and the wheels. It's just there to charge the battery, just like the Chevy Volt did. pretty cool looking car, pretty exciting. Can't wait for that $75,000 price tag.
I don't know if I could fit in the new Miata.
You could fit
with my arthritis. This looks to be about the size of a Miata, if not a little bit bigger.
I'd be surprised if it was the same size. Yeah, I mean, it looks, I don't know, might be long.
I feel like we don't have electric coupes.
No.
I can't think of any.
The Tesla Roadster.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
That's a car that exists.
That's true.
Does it actually exist though?
The first one.
Well, the first one did. Yeah. Like 10 years ago. It's 15 years ago now.
Which I guess kind of makes sense because with an electric car, you need a little bit more space. That's why the CUVs are popular. They're capitalizing on the platform being the way it is. But yeah, dude, an electric coupe, I think that's going to be the next frontier.
I don't know, dude. stressing me out. Most of the big stories this week came from SEMA, so let's get into the SEMA show at the Las Vegas Convention Center.
Yes. So there were a lot of, obviously SEMA is a hub for aftermarket, but Dodge was there and they actually had the new Charger EV there.
Damn, I missed that.
Yeah, I took a look at it. It was, I think it looks better in person than it photographs.
Every car, baby.
Every car does. It's huge. It's a massive car. It's got two doors. Mm-hmm. They had it next to a 68 Charger too, so you could kind of see the resemblance a little bit. I think if you're looking at the new Charger versus the last one, it's a huge departure, right? Because it looks very different. It's got two doors now, but I think next to the 68, it actually kind of makes sense because you're seeing that, oh, this is like a massive
size wise. How big is it? Bigger than the 68?
Yeah,
it is.
It looked bigger, at least. It just feels big. And I mean, modern cars have to be bigger for safety standards and whatnot, but it's a roomy car. Again, two doors, massive doors.
I think they're going to have a four-door version as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised because they got a lot of room for them. Yeah. But yeah, it was all right. I don't know. I don't love it, but...
Was it like revving?
No. I didn't hear it do anything like that.
You could just have it rev on like a Spotify playlist. I heard they sampled Seth Rogen's laugh for the engine sound.
What are they calling the exhaust system? The fratzonic chamber?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fratzonic chamber.
Which is just a speaker inside of a muffler, I think.
That's interesting. Yeah. I forgot they had that.
They have to come up with a cool name for it.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. With the Silverado we had at like street driving speeds emits a very ominous hum. That's my one note for that car. I thought someone was going to murder me. It's like it's literally so creepy. It's like, I'm not joking. Like, that's what it sounds like. And we're pulling into the parking garage and it's like echoing. And Justin, Nassim, and I are like, did we just step into, like, is Long Legs going to come out and kill me now? Although he doesn't kill anybody. Spoiler. It's not really a spoiler. You find that out in the first act of the film. Really weird. So the Fratzonic, it makes sense. You got to let pedestrians know you're gonna run them over. Yeah.
I get it. Well, apparently, so they are gonna be adding an internal.
You gotta let the guys know at the takeover, shining their laser pointer in your eyes that you're gonna hit them and break their hip.
Yeah, when there was
a takeover outside of my house the other day.
What?
Oh, yeah? At 2 a.m.
Is that one intersection, the really sketchy one that I hate crossing?
Might have been. Yeah. I don't know exactly where it was, but it was really close to my house. Mm-hmm.
When you're doing your rollback burnouts in the pit, you got to be able to let people know.
At the legal pit.
That's right.
Yeah.
Legal pits only. Get in the pit. Apparently, they are going to be adapting the new Charger to have an internal combustion engine because of demand from people who complained a lot.
So they're going to throw that Hurricane in there?
I mean, this was
possibly,
they announced that like a year ago, didn't they? Like with the Daytona news, like obviously the top of the line one is the fastest and most powerful one is going to be electric, but they were saying how the Hurricane's going to be going in there too, right?
Yeah. They're just getting rid of V8 options.
Yeah.
Neat. There were some other interesting cars at SEMA. I think the talk of the town was a Mazda Miata with a Lamborghini V10. Yeah. That wasn't actually a Lamborghini V10.
What?
So a lot of sleuths on TikTok realized that this Lamborghini swapped Miata was actually a Chevy block that had a Lamborghini intake manifold kind of haphazardly.
Which is still kind of, if it worked, is still kind of sick.
If it worked, it's sick. But they found out that also it wasn't even bolted on. Yeah. It was just kind of sitting on there.
It was so funny. We were at the Hankook booth. We were doing a signing there with the Baja Blaster. And Jimmy was with us, and Jimmy, every person, like every time before the signing started, he's like, "Yeah, dude, I heard about this Miata over there. It's not a Lamborghini motor." I was like, "All right, Jimmy, like that's fine. Let's not spread rumors. We can't verify it yet." He's like, "I don't know, man. I've just been hearing this stuff. I haven't been over there to check it out yet, but I'm hearing." I'm like, "Okay." And then like every time, like we'd be taking pictures of people. He'd be like, "So what's like your favorite car here so far?" And so if anyone mentioned the Miata, this car, be like, "Well, you know, I heard it's not a real V10. Jimmy, we can't verify that yet. Like,
that's how misinformation really spreads. Although it was indeed the case. But yeah, if you went by the car, it was just tons of people filming the intake manifold because they knew about the rumor that it wasn't a real thing, which honestly is a pretty good strategy if you wanted attention on a car to have something like that.
I mean, it looks pretty sick. It's got like the turbos are coming out behind the headlights.
It does look sick.
Yeah, the monstrous intake coming out of the hood. It's pretty cool.
I watched an interview with the builder, and he fully acknowledged that it wasn't hooked up yet, and allegedly they're going to be putting it back together after SEMA, and then it will run, so we'll see.
I mean, that's like half the cars at SEMA.
I know. I was going to say, it's not a huge surprise.
That is not a scandal to me. But Max, you have an interesting theory.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe this anymore,
okay,
though.
Okay, because you watched the interview. Okay,
I watched the interview. It's real. It's a real shot, yeah. But there was some talk that also it was a conspiracy, because if you looked up the hashtag on the banner of the car, it didn't actually go anywhere. And I had a theory for a while that maybe it was Jimmy Kimmel who was trying to prank SEMA by having a fake Lamborghini swap Miata and stir up some feathers, as they say.
What?
Another sick car at SEMA that I got to see firsthand was the Toyota Surf. That's right. So this thing, why don't I always do that's right? Why is that my go-to? That's right. That's right. Shut up.
Hey, ever heard about this?
Yeah. So this is a two-door Toyota 4Runner with a removable fiberglass rear canopy. This was at the Toyota booth. They had a bunch of cool stuff.
It really did.
Dude, it was sick. So this thing has a shorter wheelbase than your standard 4Runner. It has beefier suspension and 37-inch tires, a waterproof interior.
Dude, this is the car to spill your vanilla Coke in.
That's right.
For real.
It's got a nerds cluster container in the center console.
A receptacle, yeah.
The for cluster. When you suck your clusters and spit them out. As you do.
You don't have your mud jug handy. Yeah. You got to just spit into your cluster receptacle and you serve.
So this thing was awesome.
Sucks the color right off of them.
I don't know if... I don't know why manufacturers do this. They'll bring like super sick modified versions of their production cars as like pseudo concept cars. I think it's better than like bringing it to the LA Auto Show, because then people might think that it's an actual concept that's on the way. But I do feel like Toyota should make something like this.
You know what it is? Because Oreo does it as well as Coke.
Oh, yeah.
They make crazy, like, turd-flavored Oreos.
Gabagool.
Whatever. Just to take up shelf space.
Yeah.
This is shelf space at SEMA that Toyota wants to take
Interesting.
Up.
Interesting. I don't know. I could maybe see Toyota doing something like this. It just depends on how well that... the normal 4Runner sells, right?
I mean, they're like their production, you know, like outdoorsy trims are doing really well. Like there's the one 4Runner that has the factory snorkel and you can actually like, it has vents that are kind of like, if you roll down the passenger window, you can hear it gurgle and you can like hear the intake sound, like, and it sounds really cool.
Yeah, that's the Trail Hunter. Yeah. It is actually quite loud with the window down. So you know it's sucking. Toyota also had some other cool sports cars on the other side of their display. They had their GR A6. I'm sure all of you guys have heard of this.
Celica one?
What's up?
The Celica?
Yeah, so it's like Celica GT4 inspired.
That was cool.
They actually had a little decal on it that said GR4, which is cool. It had like a cool like arch wing on the back, all-wheel drive with the GR Corolla drivetrain on it. Super cool build. I think Evasive Motorsport down here in Orange, or they're nearby. They're close to here. They helped out with that build.
You know, what was particularly interesting about SEMA was the very, very over the top resto mods.
Oh, yeah.
And there were a lot of them. So, one of the resto mods is a company called Ring Brothers. Mm-hmm. That's done a lot of SEMA builds before. They had a Buick Grand National with a 1200 horsepower V6. Runs on E85.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that engine,
80s Buick.
In an 80s Buick, which is don't crazy, get me in that car. Dude. And you look at it, and the fit and finish is just like very top notch.
Oh, yeah. Ring Brothers does really cool stuff.
Better than stock.
They had another car there that we actually went. I went to the Ring Brothers booth to check out their, I want to say it was a Cuda. It was called Infected. It's a pink Cuda
twisted
with a red eye
twisted, dude.
Drivetrain in it. So they called it the Pink Eye.
Oh, gross.
Pink Eye. It had like pink eye emblems on it.
Come on, dude.
Big old HRE wheels. I think all these cars have like Roadster Shop chassis on them. So it's not like they're using the stock chassis from that.
Terrifying if they
twist
were.
Twist and brake. No, these things are like
so much
legit
torque
underneath.
It twisted the chassis off the line.
Yeah. So really cool stuff from Ring Brothers. Oh yeah, it is Barracuda. I nailed it. Didn't even look at it. Nice,
dude. I know they had a Blazer as well, but there was another car that had a lot more power, and that was a Chevy Chevelle called Doughboy.
Doughboy
from a shop called Blazing Rods.
Yeah, I've heard of these guys.
This vehicle has an engine that makes 2,800 horsepower.
That's insane. Dang.
Yeah, this thing has some pretty interesting body work on the front end.
Mm-hmm. It is not subtle.
No.
It is not a subtle vehicle.
No, it's not.
This was one where I went over and there was a massive crowd of people and I tried to get a photo of it and there's just like 30 people in the way because everybody was crowding around this one.
Wow.
They had a press release for this car and everything.
It has go elbows out, dude.
That's right.
Get out of my way.
Forcer. This has an
I have an Android. Get out of my way.
Yeah, I can just do a time lapse and all the people will disappear, actually. You'll get it in a few generations on your iPhone. This has a, 2,800 horsepower, 8.8 liter V8. Insane, I don't know what that came out of, that engine. It must 540? Be some sort of like blueprint or crate engine.
It's a Chevy engine.
So this thing was 3D designed and printed. It's got a custom made wide body and it won Vehicle of the Year at SEMA.
Really?
It's crazy.
Hmm.
If that don't blaze your rods, you're dead. You should check your pulse.
I mean, yeah, the body, the problem I have with like resto mods on muscle cars is like, it's so hard to make them look modern, I think, with the body kits. Like, you look at, it's like over the top, this thing, which I mean, matches the engine and everything. Everything about this car is ridiculous, so that makes sense. But
when you go to SEMA, you got to blow loud, dude.
You do, I guess. I don't know. It's just hard to make these bodies look better. I mean, I think all the design that was going on in the late 60s, in the 70s, I mean, they were just on another level. And it's hard to talk, like, especially the Chevelle, dude. I think that's certainly my favorite GM muscle car. It's like perfection. And then you add on top of this crazy splitter fender, like, design.
It's a bit much.
Yeah, the splitter is crazy.
It's just tough with these ones, man. I think because they're so boxy, trying to add more onto it just makes it, I don't know, maybe it's because they're just so iconic and like I'm used to the look of the stock appearance. Maybe that's it. I don't know, there's just something about it. It's hard for me. It's hard for me, man. It's tough. Yeah, SEMA was just crazy, dude. Like, you know, Justin and I, we went to a lot of meetings with people. A lot of our partners here at Donut went to a lot of their booths. Also, just went around and talked to some other sponsors we'd love to work with. But I feel like even though we had a day to ourselves where we could just look around and at our own pace, it's still hard to take in the show. There's so many cars, and there's just so many cool cars specifically parked literally right next to each other that it's hard to like focus on one thing. So many of these cars at SEMA, you'd see if they went to like one car meet near you, that'd be like the focal point. You could you'd have the mental fortitude to just focus on that and look at all the cool details and all the aspects of it. But because there's just so much at SEMA, it's almost impossible to do that there.
It's very overwhelming. Yeah. The truck section in particular, I love walking around seeing the monster trucks and everything.
I loved it.
But what's crazy is that every single one of those trucks has probably $300,000 worth of suspension and everything, but you just look at the biggest one.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're just going to look at the one that has the fattest wheels and the biggest lift and everything else.
The Hankook booth was
truck.
Next to like a big truck display, I think by a wheel company that specializes in like those huge mall crawler type builds. And it was hilarious because all these trucks are so, like, the Ranger is our biggest vehicle. It dwarfs anything else in our parking lot. It's like an outlier. Like, it's, we have to find special parking spots in our lot for it because it doesn't fit anywhere else. But then it looks tiny compared to these other builds. It's so funny.
Always a bigger fish.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. You know, I think there's a world.
That's from Star Wars.
Well, unfortunately, it wasn't fun for everybody at SEMA. TJ Hunt received a cease and desist from Ford after building a wide body Mustang that resembled Ford's upcoming GTD Mustang, their $300,000 supercar Mustang.
GT3 inspired.
GTD. I mean, you know, GTD.
Yeah.
You're all about that IMSA life.
So I'm an IMSA guy right now.
Yeah. So that's a production car based on the GTD class.
And this is a car that has not come out yet for Ford. This is the upcoming supercar variant.
We've talked about this before. Yep. Looks awesome. The GTD is I'm super stoked for. Hopefully get a chance to rip that thing.
You have to apply to get one.
Yeah. My application was denied immediately.
Really?
No, I didn't do that. So here is TJ's car. Very much I think it looks awesome, but I think there's a reason it looks awesome, and that's because it looks like a GTD.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be flippant, like
it's not a hot take to say that it was very much inspired by the GTD.
I've never met TJ. I do know a few members of his team. Good guys over there. I watched a video about the build of this car. You know, they were documenting it. Seems like they're a good group of guys down there.
Very impressive work that they did.
Too. Yeah, and they did it very quickly. It looks awesome. I'd love the stance and everything about their car. It's just that when you look at these things side by side, it's hard not to see why Ford decided they needed to protect their IP. Yeah. It is unfortunate that's the world we live in, but like companies have to do that.
It's like you don't want to spoil the final design for when Ford actually releases it. And I get it.
It does suck for TJ and his team.
Yeah.
But it like you said, it took them only 3 months to like come up with this.
Was it 3 months? Or
3 months.
3 months.
Ford didn't confiscate it or crush it or anything.
No,
right?
No. The car still exists. They still took it to Vegas. They, you know.
Yeah.
Drove it around the desert.
Did a few. I think they video out of did it. A meet or two out of it.
That's good. And they certainly got some attention from it.
Absolutely.
Nonetheless.
Yeah.
Because we've seen more egregious examples, like with the Bees for Builds car getting completely crushed of the whole Eleanor lawsuit. Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous case there. But it's, you know, it's unfortunate, and it really sucks for, you know, all the work that they really, all the labor that they put into it.
Like if Mountain Dew sued us for calling our truck the Baja Blaster.
Oh, and then they crush it under a bunch of Mountain Dew.
They'd have to take it from my cold, dead hands.
Come and take it.
I think there's a risk that TJ understood going into it that this might happen. He is getting a lot of press out of it though. Like it's good for him.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's the cars that you don't show at SEMA that mean the most. That's from Star Wars.
All right. Well, on that note, I guess that's our show. Thank you so much for listening to the Big Three. Follow us on Donut Podcasts and our personal accounts. You can learn more about Joe's fatherhood journey at Joe G. Weber.
I actually deleted my Instagram because I needed more space for Magic the Gathering.
Did you really?
No, just for mental health.
Okay, fair enough. You can follow Max at Max Maddox. Follow me at Nolan J. Sykes. Wedding pics coming soon. We just got them back. So I'm busy curating my post, figuring out what order I want my grid to be in. So go ahead and give us a 5-star review on the platform of your choice. That would really help us out. Big thank you to the crew, Edgar Rojeda, Audrey Holden, and Mark Schroeder. We will see you next time on the Big Three.
Hey, Grove City. Did you know the new Nationwide Children's Close to Home Center is now open at 1350 Stringtown Road? Get access to urgent care, lab services, therapies, and more from the trusted experts at one of America's top 10 children's hospitals, now closer to your home than ever before. Visit nationwidechildrens.org/grovecity for information about our services and make an appointment for your child today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.